Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Voices from the Dark. Today, I've got a few updates, and we've got a great show. It's another installation of the Artists series. So, some updates first. The Artists series is in full swing. As you know, I have several episodes already recorded and waiting to come out. I think I might publish them more frequently. I've only been doing one podcast a week. Not on any particular schedule. The first two were on Tuesdays. Today's Wednesday, the 16th of May. And I will have a lot more artists on the show for the artist series. So look forward to that. New show that's coming up, as I've mentioned before, is Mistaken Ideas with Evgeny Klisarov. I have another show in the works, which it will be a more or less a news show with a friend named John Lugo Treble. He's also an American, but he lives in the UK. That is coming out soon. I believe we'll be recording the first episode quite soon, but I don't have too much more information on that. I'm also going to be working again with Dominic Vatine. I'll tell you more about that as it progresses. I've also got upcoming episodes of the artist series with Lalo Gomez and another episode that's not part of the artist series with Evgeny. It's the introduction to this magnificent personality. Those are all the updates that I've got on my little pink card here. Episode 2, this episode, is called Full-Time Hustler, and you'll find out why it's called that quite quickly, I think. It's part of the artist series, and my guest on this episode is Grace Nichols. We did a very nice interview in the yard of her studio. It's outdoors, so it's something different. Last one was in a cafe with Dominic Vatine. This one is in the backyard of her studio, which was great. And she made me tea. She gives a lot of practical tips about being an artist and other stories and advice that I found very interesting and important for artists to know about because, well, I think that she does a lot of things that all artists should do, but not all artists do. So, without further ado, Full-Time Hustler.
Hello, I'm Grace. I'm a set and costume designer living in Berlin, originally from the UK.
Okay. So we're sitting in the backyard of her studio, which is actually quite amazing. And it's a little chilly, but I guess we can just jump right into you know, the questions. So you said who you are, but can you tell me more about who you do your create your art for, or anything about your work?
Yeah, so I study costume design, and so I think when you study costume design, you're trained to wait for a job or look for work, like a theatre performance, a film, a music video, and then you design for that that project. I'm trying to do that alongside also making my own costumes for my own creative projects, because sometimes I feel when you're doing costume design and set design, a lot of time you're making stuff for the eye of someone else, and your ideas get whittled down a bit and your creativity is slightly crushed. Not all the time, but like I kind of see myself slightly more as an artist, but I'm just finding my way to get to that point. So I studied costume design. I was working a lot in theatre in London. Theatre is something I didn't connect with so much. One of the reasons why I moved to Berlin was so I could afford to live in a slightly cheaper place and afford to do more experimental work and focus more on film. And then I've done some feature films. I do set design as well, so I production designed a feature. I do set dressing on. I just finished a web series I did the set dressing for. Then I'm doing an advert for the costumes. So it's a bit of a mix. And some people, I recommend that I should specialize a bit. But I think eventually, in the end, you'll be it's a better skill to have, is to be able to do more stuff and not just be doing costume. Plus, I'll get bored. So hopefully learning all of these practices and then also doing these music videos and doing these films are just increasing to my... developing my knowledge of the field. And then when I have free time, so if I have 2-4 weeks off, then I will make a crazy costume. My friend Ruby, for example, I know a few dancers, will be dancing in the costume. I photograph it, film it, and treat these more as like art pieces. That's something I'm moving more into at the moment. But at the moment, I'm like, before that and stuff, I'm doing more set and costume design, and I love doing music videos. That's like my kind of love, but obviously they're often not got much money involved and stuff, but I like the energy of a music video. Like the costumes are normally quite interesting, people want a bit like wacky stuff. That's my kind of bag. Yeah.
Cool. So what's your, if you had to take that advice from somebody, you know, and focus on something, what would it be? Would it be the music videos or film?
Yeah, that's why I kind of decided to focus more on film and kind of cut out theatre, was because that's then specialising, and I can kind of still do set and costume, but specialising within a entity, which is film. But between set and costume design, I would probably pick costume design, because that's something I have much more experience in, and I can make clothes, and I'm much more skilled in costume design. But I really do enjoy doing set design, and I think it's because my dad's a builder, and like, I've just from a young age been on building sites, and I like the labor.
You feel like it's in your genes?
Yeah, slightly in my genes. Yeah. Like, it just being in a van. The last few films I've worked on, I've had a van full of tools.
A van.
Driving a van, and like just been driving around, like building stuff, and I really enjoy that. Where with costume, a lot of the time you're sewing, you're in like Primark or somewhere horrible, buying like 15 pairs of black trousers, and I'd rather be in like IKEA buying 15 kitchens and building the kitchens than
a lot of kitchens.
Sometimes the director doesn't like it and then cuts the whole thing. You have to take the whole thing back and then buy another one and rebuild it. So it'd be hard between costume and set design which to pick. But definitely specializing in the realm of film and music videos is like more my thing.
So what motivates you? You said your father or was it both your parents that were in the arts?
My dad's just a builder.
He's a builder.
Okay. And my mum is a chiropodist, so like a foot doctor.
Oh, okay.
But like, yeah, both my parents have very strong artistic streaks, but they were taken out of school like at a very young age. They're both
also
dyslexic.
From Bristol?
Yeah. My dad's from a little countryside town on the outskirts, but he moved to Bristol at a young age. My mum's from Gloucester.
Oh, okay.
But then moved as well to Bristol at like 21 or something.
Okay.
But they both have strong artistic streaks, but because they're both dyslexic, they both like really failed at school and were taken out at 14 and then just had to kind of get jobs. My dad was working for an apprenticeship in an airplane company and then quit that and wanted to be self-employed, so he then started window cleaning and then built his own building business. And he's the one that says as well, because I often like complain to him, or like not complain to him but talk to him about whether I should be specializing or not, and he's like, well, a lot when I started building, most people said I should specialize in becoming a plumber, a bricklayer, whatever. And he did everything.
My father is actually a bricklayer.
Oh really? Yeah. That's cool.
Also quite creative, but
Yeah.
So maybe there's some genetic. So you mentioned that, you know, they left school or had to leave school, which brings me to one of, like, I don't know, the most important questions is, you know, we were talking before we started recording about perseverance. Obviously, back in those days, people had less options. We have so many more options today. To do creative work and be professional, get paid for it.
Yeah.
Do you think that their experience, like, you know, not failing at it, but like not being able to kind of maybe pursue this kind of creative life or their dreams, as people say, Do you think that this their experience like kind of molded you in any way?
Yeah, I think so, because like my mum was taken out of school and sent to like a bookbinding company, and she worked there for a week and refused to work there anymore, and said she wanted to be a window dresser, and they didn't believe that she could do it. Anyway, she with perseverance, she got a job as a window dresser, and then worked for like 15 years as a window dresser. It wasn't until she had me that she then started the like thinking about chiropody. I don't really even know how she got the idea to do chiropody, but it's worked out really well for her. But I can just see in her, she has a very strong artistic streak. Also, my dad is very good at designing buildings, and he's built like a summer house in our back garden.
Without any training.
Just like
formal training.
Yeah. Forward, just learn everything on the job.
Wow. So he's basically like an architect, but
self-taught. He's very good. And I think they've always been, because as well, I'm so dyslexic as well. So I was taken out of school when I was in year four, which is when you're like six or something, maybe like eight, because I was just not able to read or write. I was like the bottom of the class. And they took me to a dyslexic school, and they obviously like try and build your confidence up and focus on what you're good at. And for me, it was creative visual work and not reading and writing. And so I think for me, it's kind of been the only option. I really love science, and that's one thing I was actually very good at as well. And I got good grades, but I had like a scribe in the exam. I had someone, I dictated it, and she wrote it for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it meant that then I got like a double B for science, where otherwise I probably would have gotten ungraded. But I always was slightly nervous of pursuing anything like that, because I just didn't think I could keep up with the work at university level. And I just loved art. So for my A levels, I did art, textiles, and photography. Then I did an art foundation, which I specialised in fashion, and then I did costume design. And so it's just like the design process is what kind of gets me excited, and that's why I'm saying now about starting to create more art projects involving costumes that I'm just going to conceptualize and make myself, because that the design process is what I love. And sometimes you just don't, even when you're working on a music video or you're working on a film, you have like 3 weeks prep or 2 days prep or 24 hours prep, and you can't really go deep into a design. And so maybe now just like starting to focus on I could spend 2 months like really getting into a character in making something.
And that would be like a personal
venture.
Project.
Yeah.
And building portfolios and stuff.
Yeah.
So you talked a lot about your path so far, but can you like tell us more?
Well,
I mean, that's just one of the, you know, big topics that I really like to explore. So you talked about a lot already, but like, what was your specific path? When did you get into it? Into any art or any creative endeavor? Was it when you were very young, or were like?
Yeah, it was probably when I was young. It was at school. It was, again, something I was much better at than everything else. So my mum, for example, bought me a sewing machine when I was 14. And then I studied textiles and fine art when I specialised in those at school, when you're at high school. And then I just kept ploughing along. So then I just always picked artistic subjects. I was a massive nerd as well. Like, I still worked really hard at everything else. It wasn't that I flunked English or maths and things, but I just loved to create and draw and design.
Okay.
And then, I just finished university, and you're kind of trained then to, like, as I was saying, get jobs.
Yeah.
And you just keep going. And even though sometimes there's like really low points when you're like, you're not necessarily happy with the work that you're doing, or you're not getting any work, or you're not getting any money from the work that you're doing. But I just know that as you go further, it's bad, but as you go further, people drop out. So as I said to you before we started recording, like 15, 20 people at my university finished like my course at the same time as me. There's probably three of us that are still doing what we're doing. So if you just keep going, the more and more people you meet, like, you just have to be social as well, and just put yourself out there. Reply to things like your podcast,
meet
new people. Just spread your web, basically.
Yeah.
But it's just perseverance, and it does go through ups and downs. And like right now, I'm doing quite a lot. Like, I'm doing an advert, and I'm doing kind of corporate work. But that's fine, because I know that I get this corporate work done, and then I'll probably have 2 weeks in which I can just like design and draw and go mad.
Okay.
But it's just like not getting impatient, basically.
Okay.
And know that there's time.
Yeah. Slow and steady.
Yeah.
So you're a professional now, but you probably weren't always a professional. What other kind of jobs have you had?
I've had lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the weirdest job that you had? you know, to support your creative endeavors.
I once was, but this was really fun. It was weird, but really fun. I was acting in a, there's a thing called Secret Cinema in London. Mm-hmm. Like a theater. It's like a kind of crazy film theater performance thing. And I'm a terrible actress, but I'm a friend of mine conceptualized this idea, and then I was acting in the show. So I was like, I was what's it called when you're just like making up as you go along?
Improv
acting. Improv, yeah, people were just coming up to me, and I was a post lady from America, and I was sending out posts to people, and that was like one of the best jobs ever. Really good pay. And,
oh, really?
But yeah, really random. Wow. That's probably one of the oddest, but I've done so many things. Like I was in London, I was working in a restaurant in a restaurant bar in Brixton. Here I did cleaning work for a while. Like a few months ago, like
For one of these startups? Like
no, it was just with. Well, I did originally start with a startup thing, and then I left and just had a couple of my own clients. Okay. I never did it like full time. Like I had maybe two clients or something. Okay. But now, yeah, then there was a point where it's like, no, I've done this now for probably 2 years, and it needs to finish. Even though, again, the pay's good.
Yeah.
I've done loads of weird stuff though, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Building work. I'm often doing building work,
like for houses, apartments.
Yeah, like when if I go back to the UK, mm-hmm. do stuff with my dad. Yeah, just,
oh, you work with your. So did you start working with your father at some point?
Yeah, like when I was like 11, yeah? 11 wow. or 12, just like kind of for like pocket money, and then yeah, whenever I was like summer holidays and stuff at school, I'd work with him for a week or 2 weeks. And then if I go back now, I do stuff. Window cleaning, I've done a lot of here actually, which is shit. I hate it. But
well, it's where your father got his start.
So yeah, yeah, yeah. I felt like I was following his footsteps then. Yeah, I'm just trying to. Lots of odd jobs. Like, yeah, random things come through where people are just like, the people that know when you're a freelancer and sometimes you just need little bits of money, and they contact you like, can you waitress this event tonight? Mm-hmm. Then you just like kind of run off and do that. Or at the moment, actually, I'm making 6 aprons for a cafe in Prince Lauberg. So just like odd jobs, but often, yeah.
6'8", so that's that, what is that, eight, not 8 meters, that's no, 6'8" prints,
no, aprons.
Aprons, oh,
aprons,
sorry.
Just aprons. Sorry about yeah.
that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, just it's basically, well, they're actually unnecessarily complicated for what they're intended for. But right, yeah. Right. So a plethora of odd jobs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same with most creative people, I think.
Yeah.
When did you come to Berlin? How long have you been here?
I came 3.5 years ago now. Okay. I came, moved in September 2014, a bit less than 3.5 years.
And I think that, you know, location, environment is quite important for everybody, maybe more so for creative people and artists. I actually love Berlin because of this reason that you mentioned before, that it's, you know, lower cost, higher quality of life. So where else have you lived and done art? And maybe you can say something about, like, you said you lived in London.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously London is a very difficult city to live in.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not, like, from there. Like,
yeah. I studied in London, which was fine. It was nice. And I could kind of afford it at the time because mm-hmm. you get a bigger loan. But then when I finished, I still, in comparison to what some people pay in London, I had relatively okay rent. But it was, I had no quality of life. I was working four nights a week at this restaurant in Brixton. Mm. In like this, in the market there, and then the rest of the time I was doing freelance work. Mm-hmm. So I was working all the time, like 7 days a week, like juggling lots of freelance mm-hmm. jobs along with being a waitress. If my friends lived all over the city, especially after you finish university, people were mainly, when I was at uni, people were living in the southeast, southwest, and then all of a sudden everyone's everywhere. So come Friday night, you want to see a friend, but they're in North London, and that's, you finish work at 1 a.m, and then there isn't public transport during the night, and it's an hour journey to meet your mate. And it sounds really like superficial stuff, just meeting friends and things, but it's just like having fun. And I also was like,
you
I'm 20.
You got a lot of steam. I mean, it's.
Yeah, and at the time as well, I was like, I'm 24 years old then, and I was like, I don't feel like I'm really like enjoying this age in which you should be just like going out and having fun and like also working hard, but working hard, playing hard, and you can't do that in London. You're just working.
Yeah.
I just decided to come here like really randomly. We, like, our house rent was put up like by £100 each per month.
What?
Yeah, and like once every year the contract gets renewed, and every time it gets renewed, the
Was it six people in there? £100 per person.
Oh my god! And that was a discount for us. Because we were, like, we've been there 2 years, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to be nice. We'll give you it for 100 each." Oh my God. We're just like, "No, we're out of here."
That's unbelievable.
I like went to a few viewings, and then just couldn't find anything that I could afford or liked.
In London.
Yeah. I saw some horrible places, and they were like over 700.
Like filthy, you mean? Just filthy destroyed.
And like studio. I wanted a studio apartment thing, and in East London there was just this house built in a warehouse, so there's no windows, no natural light, and it was like 700. It was just horrible, and I was like, right, I'm out of here. And always wanted to try living in another country. Yeah. And going back to like my family and stuff, my dad's actually half German.
Oh really?
But he was adopted by English parents.
So does he speak German?
No, he doesn't speak any German. He does a very German name, but doesn't speak German. But yeah, so I just always kind of had an interest of coming to Berlin or to Germany.
Yeah.
And it was either Germany or New York. Mm. Obviously, I can't afford New York. So then I just came here.
Basically, the same as London.
Yeah.
Super expensive.
Yeah. So that was kind of, yeah, but I want to live a more, I want to try, I'm really into cycling and climbing and hiking and the nature, and I would love to spend like a year just traveling and just focusing on climbing and like hiking and stuff. So I've been talking with my boyfriend about maybe moving to Italy actually for a bit and then traveling around. But I also wouldn't mind living in another city.
In Germany?
Not in Germany, probably just in another country.
Oh, okay.
And exploring. I think just everything is inspiration, and I've been traveling as much as I can. I went in the last couple of years, so I've been to South Africa and I've been to Canada and America and things, and I think it's just important to get about, meet different people, see what else is out there. So I think moving to Berlin has been a great experience. I think I will be here for a few more years, but I definitely have kind of plans to try out living in a few other places before I settle somewhere. Mm.
That's a word I don't really like. I have a wife and a child, and I still don't really want to say that I'm settling somewhere.
Yeah. But, no, I can understand that. It's a weird word.
Yeah, I mean, you can. There's so many things to do in this world, including art, travel. So it's definitely a better life or higher quality life here, basically.
Than London. Yeah. Yeah, for example, I can work a lot less and then I have free time. And I remember moving here and then having a weekend, and I found it weird that I actually had a weekend where I could just go to the market and not feel stressed that I needed to work. And that was like kind of revolutionary, just being able to chill out. And also being able to walk down the street and go for a dinner, which isn't really expensive. Like in London, I would always eat at home. I very rarely ate out.
Yeah.
But now I like probably eat out once or twice a week, and I don't feel guilty for that.
Yeah.
And then you can pick up a falafel for lunch and not think twice about it because it's €3, you know? And it's nice to just feel like sometimes I'm working at my studio, then I go climbing in the evening, and then I might go for dinner, and I just feel like I'm living like a really nice little bubble of existence.
Yeah, it's definitely a bubble here.
Yeah.
So I think you said a lot about, you know, the realities of your life and your artistic life, but I guess the big question is, you know, why do you do it? Why do you make art? Why do you continue to do it? We know why or how you started and, like, you know, your kind of history, your background, but why?
Yeah, I sometimes
other than money, you know.
I sometimes wonder it, but I think it's the idea. It's hard to explain, but sometimes I see people that work in, like, for example, my boyfriend is a barber, and he works in a really nice barber shop, and he goes to the same place every day. He knows how many hours he's working. He knows how much he's getting paid. And there's something that I see that's really, I'm kind of jealous about with that. But I do think at the same time, if I persevere, and I've got, you know, I'm getting the work coming in and everything like that, but I would love it to be at the point in which I could have like a little team and employ people. Like I employ people job specific. If I have a big film, I need someone. But it'd be cool just to have a kind of constant, like have a studio together with a constant four people working in there, and you build like a bit of community. I think it'd just be a really nice environment. And then also the work is fresh. Like, you're never always doing the same thing. Longest you'll be working on a feature film, they're normally 24 days filming. Mm-hmm. And then with the prep, maybe a month before. But that's as much. So like, I get like cabin fever if I'm working in the same place for too long. So the fact that then I'd be out and about doing different jobs here and there. Also meeting people. I'm always meeting new people. And I love working with the same people too. And then that's nice as well. For example, I did a music video a few weeks ago with a director friend that I've made, who I've worked on like four things with before, and it's just a nice atmosphere and vibe. But it's mixed up. Mm-hmm. So I guess the reason why is just, it's hard now, but like, hopefully in 5-10 years time, you'll have a kind of envious little job, like envious kind of world that you've made.
Yeah.
Rather than working, I could be earning a lot more money even if I was working probably in a startup or something here in Berlin. But like, if I just kind of again persevere, you'll make your own empire. I've kind of joked about having like Grace's empire, but just like having a studio in which I have people working for me, sewing and creating stuff, designing.
So is it like a thing about control, or well, obviously it's creative and you're saying you want to create this kind of like empire, but is there something, you said, you know, you don't want to necessarily go to the same place every day. Is it the freedom, those things, or
it's all those things. I think it's for the freedom as well. It's like today I had to meet a friend for coffee, and then I went down to the market and brought fabrics, and I met another friend to give some stuff back from another project, and then I cycled to the printers, and then I cycled back to the studio, and it's just like I'm out and about and doing stuff. So that, in that sense, the freedom that my days are flexible. Not all the time. When you're working on a film, then it's just like mad. It's like working every day in like 15-14 hours. But it kind of goes through stages, and that's what nice. It's always different. So I think the freedom in that sense, and also if I want to take a month off, I can. Mm-hmm. It is stressful because that month I'm not getting paid for. If I had a normal job, I'd be being paid for the time I'm off. Also, when I seem to take time off, really cool jobs come through, and then I can't do it. But the control, I guess there is an element of control as well. But I love to design, and I like to build it to the point in which I'm just like designing, and I have, and other people love to make, and then I love to make as well. But it'd be cool to have a few seamstresses and stuff in which are making, that make stuff for me, and then I have design, like certain directors that I work with, but they trust me entirely to just like make. Some directors are like they're all so controlling that everything has to be okayed, like from top to bottom, and then that's quite stressful. And it's really nice to work with a director that just lets you go off. So I do, there is just a part of, building your own, building something to be proud of, which is yours. And no one's really telling you what to do.
I
find it hard when I work sometimes in freelance job. I was working very, like 2 weeks in a cafe in Friedrichshain, and the boss kind of told me like it, not a nice way to do stuff, and I just automatically like fire back because I'm not used to it. And someone telling me what to do, I just like, I don't react. Like if it's rude, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Whereas I think a lot of people, they just kind of, they're used to that in the environment and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely in restaurants and even in corporate business, there's not enough respect, I think, you know, from the higher ups to the lower downs.
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you say is the biggest obstacle for, artists or creative people, aside from getting paid and trying to find the paid jobs, what's the biggest obstacle, maybe psychologically, emotionally, physically? Because your craft, your art is quite well diverse, but it's also, it could be quite demanding for a lot of people, you know, if you're building, working with wood, working with whatever materials. What's the biggest obstacle?
I think it's more mental, and I think it's like not thinking you're good enough, and like self-evaluation. I'm always, it's something I'm really trying to control, but always self-evaluating, like looking at my website and going, I don't like anything, or like looking at my Instagram and like, right, I've got to delete all of this, and not feeling like it's a lot to do with pride, this work. So you make a project, make a music video, and you're happy with the final result, and you're just like, you're very like, that gives you the sense of pride. But sometimes you can end up in a bit of a system. Maybe you work 2 or 3 months and you're not, if you haven't done any work that you're really proud of. And I think that's when you start to get into your head and you're like, fuck, I'm not good enough, or it's not good. And also it's just hard with social media because you're always being judged and judging other people and evaluating yourself and what you're seeing other people doing. And this is something I think I really struggled with at the beginning of last year. But like, I was just constantly kind of thinking. And I was also at the home. I didn't have my studio then. So I was working a lot from home, which I'm used to doing. I was
you
doing
think
that
that's
in London.
The reason why it was more.
But you get like, really in a little bubble when you're at home and you're not like your living space is your working space. And it's, I had a big room, but it was just too much. Definitely coming here to my studio has really helped. And it's something that is just like well worth investing in. It makes you 5 billion times more productive.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
I often wonder that myself, if I should get a little office or something, like a tiny little room somewhere.
Well, they've got desks going here.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
But it makes a massive difference. Yeah, so I just think more the main challenge is just like mental, and just also like my friend Ruby gave me a good little, from her grandmother. Grandmother said something about just never judge yourself against someone else. It's much better than that. But you know, never judge yourself against anyone.
Yourself.
Don't compare. Yeah. That's basically it. Like, it's just focus on your little world and like obviously be productive and like analyze what you're doing to make sure you're not kind of flunking. But more anything, the you can wing anything. YouTube, like, to build anything, you just YouTube it and then you build it. It's definitely that's not so much a challenge for me. It's just more keeping positive in my head about everything.
Yeah, I think that applies to anyone, really. I mean, I think it's not just for creative people, which is one of the reasons why I find artists and creative people so inspiring, is that they do have a different way of looking at the world, not only because they're creative, but because they have to kind of figure out find their own path, make things up, not just their craft and their art, but like actually how to live.
It's just hustling. I'm just like,
hustling, exactly.
Call myself a full-time hustler, really. And that's why when I said that people, friends of yours, know that you're a freelancer and sometimes might not have money, but they need someone to work on the door of an event and it's X amount of money, they ring you up and it's like, okay, so yesterday I was working on a film, today I'm now working on the door to a club night or whatever. You know, it's just one of these, like, you're just kind of hustling, but eventually, like, just again through perseverance, you get to a point in which you are able to sustain yourself on the money that you're making from creative projects. And sometimes you have to do corporate stuff, but again, the corporate stuff is well paid, so it's worth doing it, because then you can spend a week. Where most people, if you're working in a full-time job, you can't be like, oh, okay, next week I'm going to take off and just focus on my creative stuff. You just can't do that. Yeah. Well, at least as a freelancer, I have the ability to think, oh, I've earned X amount of money last week. This week I deserve or can just draw. And that's it. All I'm going to do is draw.
I think that you've given a lot of, inadvertently maybe, or on purpose, a lot of advice so far. So maybe something more difficult to ask you is, what about the future? Like, do you think about the future? Because we talked about, you know, those corporate jobs or even a restaurant job where you have a schedule, you have like basically everything is planned out and you sort of have this security quote, so as a creative person, as an artist, as a full-time hustler, like, what do you do? Like, if you were thinking conservatively, or if you wanted to have those, you know, benefits of like kind of like a so-called stable life, like what would you do, like, or what do you do, if you do anything, that sort of prepares you for the future?
When I was saying corporate stuff, I mean like doing adverts.
Well, no, we were talking about before, like those, you know, people who have like a nine to five job.
I do worry about it, but I've funnily enough, a friend of mine, she summarizes books for an app, and she's reading a book about finance at the moment, and she's been giving us all finance tips and talking about how many bank accounts we should have and everything like that. And I've now got to the point in which I'm going to... It sounds crazy, but like I think if I think about these things now, I'm 27, and start preparing, like I'm going to get a bank account in which I'm going to transfer money for my pension. Just 5% of every invoice. Okay. Every invoice that's over 50 euros, 50 euros and above, I'm going to work a percentage scheme out. So then it's like 5% goes into my pension, which it doesn't get touched. And it'd just be my own account. I just open up a savings account with a good interest.
Savings account. Yeah. Oh, with a good interest. Okay.
Yeah. And then that doesn't get touched. Then maybe 10% goes into... general savings for holidays and things. 20% then go, or maybe 30-40 goes into like rent and living. And this kind of, so like trying to be wise about when the money comes into my account, then how I distribute it, and not. I'm very good. I don't blow money. I'm not like I'm quite frugal, but just trying to be wise about these things now and not get freaked out when I turn like 39 that I haven't got any pension or haven't saved any money.
Sure. I don't have a pension and I'm 40, so hopefully I'm not. No, I think about the same thing, obviously. Everybody does.
Yeah. But I think just trying to be a bit wise, and like if I get, just when I get money, I worked on a feature film before Christmas. That was a bulk of money, and I could just blow that and buy a load of clothes, but it's just about being like, okay, no, this money now needs to go into this account, this account. But so I guess I don't see myself, I have pondered about getting like a regular full-time job, but I won't. And I do see...
You're certain?
I'm pretty 100%. No, 100%. I maybe could see myself teaching or something. I really enjoy teaching, and I teach sewing lessons and stuff here as well.
Wow.
But...
what don't you do? That's my next question.
That is definitely something I don't do. But, I just think trying to be wise about it now.
Okay.
And that's it. That's basically the future. It's just like being wise. Invest in art as well. Trying to invest in artwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So like buying other people's art.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I haven't bought anything for ages, but because I studied at Wimbledon College of Art, so I was friends with lots of artists. I've like nicked a few of their pieces, and then Bristol's really big on graffiti, so I've got a couple of graffiti, like from graffiti artists and stuff.
Like canvases or actual pieces?
One piece is just like a piece of cardboard with a drawing. It's actually like a kind of portrait of me on it, funnily, but I didn't even know this was the graffiti artist, and I wanted to buy something from an exhibition, and then it was sold out, and so he just drew me another one. He just happened to be there. And that's actually like gone up loads in value. It was only 50 quid at the time, and now it's like 400, which is it's not, that's nothing really, but just like trying to, like, I think artwork is a safe thing to invest in, and I just like sounds really like middle-aged of me, but this is like, just trying to keep an overview.
I think that you've got a good head on your shoulders, and that sounds middle-aged. Jesus Christ. I think that a lot of people, even people who have, 9-to-5 jobs, often don't think about those things. And I think it's important.
Yeah.
But, I also think that possibly it's more difficult for artists or creative people or freelancers who don't have a steady stream of income. They might like feel like they need to, spend all their money on this or that, or kind of keep it in a savings account that's not high interest or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like people aren't planning. They're just like freaking out.
Yeah.
So I think it's important.
The UK, it's much easier to open up bank accounts, and it's free. And like in the UK, I have 4 bank accounts.
Mm.
And it's like here, it's much more complicated, and you have to pay for some of them and stuff. But yeah. I'm on a mission. This is kind of a plan for April to sort all of this stuff out, and so I can do this percentage in which like certain money is coming out. It is hard because sometimes you just end up huddling money, and then actually not spending anything. Where if you worked out the maths of it, you can be like, oh no, I can buy myself a new pair of shoes because you need them and you have this amount of money left over. But when you're paid sporadically, it's just very like hard to judge, like know what's happening in the future. I might not get a job for 2 months and then I'll be like totally out and dry and have no money, or I might get like a really well paid job next week.
Yeah.
So I think, it's all about kind of planning.
So what else do you do besides, everything? For fun? You say you can have more fun. We can maybe talk a little bit more about Berlin.
Yeah.
This podcast is not about Berlin, but we're in Berlin, so...
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned already I do like climbing and... There's a really good app called Urban Sports, which I'm on. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
It's like 60 euros a month, like loads of gyms, climbing centers, swimming pool, the summer baths, like everything's connected to it. So it just makes doing exercise in yoga in, well, yoga's exercise, but doing like everything like very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Also because Berlin's smaller, you can get places super quick. So a lot of time in my spare time, I'm just kind of, I go climbing like 2 to 3 times a week. That's kind
of
like...
So that's like indoor stuff?
Indoor, or? Like bouldering and things. But I've got a real, passion to, I love cycling. I do sometimes these alley cat races, which are these like illegal...
What's that?
It's like an illegal bike race about around Berlin. That's organized by cycle couriers.
Oh, wow.
I'm terrible. Like, I'm the last, but I love like taking part. Yeah. And then also just going out. Like I like going, like I love Berghain and like go to Berghain to just dance. And just find that gets out a load of stress going there and just like going crazy to techno music. Mm. But that doesn't happen very, like it's kind of once in a blue moon, but I love it. And then also in the summer here, it's just great. So you've got lakes and like even last Sunday I went for a cycle, went up to the lakes near my house, all around there, then through a forest to Mugglersee, all around Mugglersee and then back home. And it's just like the ability to be out in the kind of countryside, in inverted commas, in fresh air so easily from your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
Like this lake from my house is like 20 minute cycle ride away. Mm. It's super nice. So that's what one thing I love about Berlin. Yeah. And there's a massive diversity. There's always interesting stuff going on. There's good things and bad things. It's like with any city, but I think your quality of life, and especially for this kind of age for me anyway, it's just like, yeah, it's good.
Okay. Do you have any current projects that you want to talk about? Maybe tell the website or any other, basically plug or,
well, cool.
Shout outs to anybody.
Well, I guess, yeah, because I've been doing these music videos at the moment with a musician called Jasper Munk, and he's a German singer, sings in English, but he's just very cool music videos, and so those are really fun, and I'm hoping to work on a few more of those. And then otherwise, but this is what I said, at the moment it's like commercials in April, and then hopefully getting into the designing, which is I've designed this kind of harem,
harem,
like you know where all the women are.
Oh, I would say harem.
Harem. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe there's many ways to pronounce. Often there's many ways to pronounce one word.
That, but like a kind of a costume inspired from that kind of environment with like a hipster edge, I suppose.
Interesting.
And I'm very I've already brought the fabrics and I've kind of got the ideas, but I want to maybe get 4 people in a room and film this very smoky, kind of short music video vibe thing.
But this would be your
this
personal
is just
thing,
like
not,
my personal
not for
thing.
Monk. Jacob, did you say?
Jasper Monk.
Jasper.
No.
Jasper
Monk. Not for that, but like, just like as a kind of personal project, but like I have, for example, I've already spoken about Ruby, this dancer friend who's keen on the project, and spoken to a videographer, just to go kind of crazy and creative. I also very good friends with a really good production designer called Miran, and we've been talking about doing stuff. So just like making these cool visual, it's just like visual, cool visual, eye stimulating stuff.
Yeah, eye candy.
Yeah, so like hopefully like come like mid to end of April, I'll be on that. That's kind of what I'm aiming for.
The reason I ask is, this Voices from the Dark is the podcast is about interesting, inspirational people, basically the coolest people you've never met, or sorry, that's retarded, coolest people you've never heard of.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, you've never met them if you've never met them. Also, I think that I want to have this podcast be a way of supporting the arts and promoting the arts. So, I ask because, if you have, you had mentioned before that if you have colleagues and, partners that might also be interested in doing the podcast. Also if you want to promote any projects,
but you don't have
to, obviously. But.
Yeah, well, it just really varies. So it's all like goes. So I was just working on a web series called, which I find really hard to pronounce. It's a German word. It's like Furme. It's like F Umlaut U R U then a space U M M E. Firma. And that's really nice because it's a German, well, Berlin-based group of people. They made this comedy, and even though it's in German, and my German's not good by any stretch of imagination, it's okay. I find it funny. So I think to a German person, it's very funny, and it's good comedy. I think everyone working on it is very good, and that'd be the one thing that I've worked on recently that I would definitely it's not out yet. They still haven't finished editing it.
Okay.
We've been working on it for 2 years, so we've done different blocks of filming, but the last block was 2 Sundays ago. That was the end. And that would be the thing that I would say, watch out for. And it's on this new, there's this new platform for series, more independent, indie series. And I don't know the name of it, sadly. Okay. But that word, Fuma, is all over Facebook.
Okay.
And that would be one thing that I've been working on, and it's very proud, and I think the quality of the production is super good.
So it's
F umlaut U.
Yeah.
R space U M M E.
What does that mean?
I've been told what it means, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, I'll definitely check that out. And I don't really have too many more questions.
I guess, if you're saying about plugging, the way to keep in touch with what I'm doing in the world is Instagram.
Okay. What's your Instagram?
G Nicholas Design. So that's...
No space.
No space. Okay. So it's G-N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S Design.
Okay.
And then Instagram, because then I do stories. I think Instagram's very good for that, because often you're working on things. I've worked on so many films and I still don't have any visual images from them, because it can take 2 years, 1 year in post-production. So then I'm filming when I'm on set and when I'm doing certain things, so it gives you a vibe what I'm up to. And then when the final images come through, or I take pictures during shooting, I post those too, and it gives a better... Sometimes when I say what I do, it's very hard for people to visualize it sometimes, and so have Instagram, I think, is a good tool for that. It puts everything into a visual context.
Okay, actually that's something I wanted to ask you before I forgot to ask. So obviously you're on social media, most people are, and you mentioned building a community, or as you said, an empire. What's the balance there? I personally feel, and this is actually one of the selfish reasons why I do this podcast, is because I want to have a community where I'm in touch with artists and creative people, so I can collaborate and also just help people promote themselves.
So
what's the balance that you have, if you even think about it, between building a social media community and an actual in real life community?
It's really hard, because I'm better at it, but before I could easily spend an hour just doing stuff for Instagram, and then you're not actually doing any hard work. But it is so important as well. Some people don't think it's that important, but I think to get yourself out there, I think it is. So I definitely think it's worth investing time in it, and having a good website and stuff, which my website is gracenicholas.co.uk.
Say it again. See, I was talking over you. Just
gracenicholas.co.uk. But I, again, am constantly critiquing it and then not sure. But I think, you have to find the balance. I'm much more productive in the morning. I'm not a night owl. So I normally get up in the morning, I come to the studio, I spend potentially an hour on my computer, doing those kind of things, social media stuff.
Emails,
and everything. And then I get into my work. And that helps my brain anyway, turn on. But I think, for example, how we met through the Facebook group, I think those are really good, and I do make an effort of checking that once or twice a week, going through all the different freelancer Berlin or independent film Berlin, and then you see someone like yourself call out to artistic people and then respond and then meet people, and I think that's important. So you're saying social media is good in that sense, and it's also good for meeting people, but I try not to get too wrapped up in it.
So
I'm not going to do a Facebook page for me. I think that's totally unnecessary.
I've done that.
But for my
it's a little weird, actually. It's I don't know which one to post on at any given time. It's
That's
should I post
also
on this one or this one?
Sometimes you just become overwhelmed because you've got so much stuff to do.
So what about the in real life, because I still find that I'm getting most of my in real life time with, through first social media, through meetup.com or Facebook. And then, you know, I actually meet people in real life from that. So it's not like I'm kind of like trying to curate a social media presence. Yeah. It's more like I'm trying to meet actual people.
Yeah.
But I still don't. I mean, I guess you can somehow go to bars and exhibitions and openings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then I would probably find out about those on social media. So
yeah, that's
it's like,
the
where's
thing.
The line?
Yeah. I think Facebook, I only use it really now for events and for checking the groups. So that's good because I have a friend, for example, a friend called Eva, and she's really on it with exhibitions. Mm. She knows like everything that's going on, and she's also, she often invites me to stuff. And then when I can make it, I go. And like that's useful. There's a few people in my life that I know that are on it and I can trust their taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I see that they're going something and I'm not doing anything that night, then I'll definitely make an effort to go. So I think definitely for me, social media, like I don't do Facebook statuses or anything like that, but I kind of think that's died anyway. No one really does it anymore. Yeah. But for events and for like meetups and groups, I think it's really good. But I wouldn't know half the kind of small gallery openings or there's a gig happening over in Wedding or whatever. Yeah. I wouldn't know of any of that. I'd be like totally I'd probably just be climbing all the time and not have any sort of like idea of what's actually going on in the world. So I do think it's definitely good and definitely useful.
Okay.
If I put on, I have an art collective as well when we put on like events. We haven't done anything for about a year.
I think I saw that on your site.
So Sick Communications.
Yeah, So Sick Communications.
Yeah. And that would be something I guess I would plug as well. It's just that we haven't done, that's my friend Ruby. So if I make these costumes and do this like harem, she'd be dancing in it with it. And we'd probably put that under the category associate communications.
Mm-hmm.
But like that, whenever we do an event, we do a thing on Facebook for it. And we have a Facebook page, and we're going to actually get rid of the website because you have to pay for the website. And it's better just that the Facebook page is free.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's important, but I try not to get too wrapped up.
Okay. What was this tea again? You said it was just fresh
mint tea.
Yeah, thank you for that.
It's nice.
So I don't know if you would be interested in coming back for another interview, but I mean, you seem to do everything. So I feel like, you know, you could probably do like 10 of these.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
Easily.
I'm definitely up for it.
And that's one of the things I feel like I would like to have is like repeat guests. I said the same thing about the my previous guest, the filmmaker I was telling you about. He said he would be into it, and obviously we have to see how I produce the episodes and see how that all they're coming along very well.
Cool.
I'm keeping it very minimalist, very simple. So basically this interview will not be edited at all. I put like an intro and an outro, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so. No, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Russell Brand.
Of course. I mean, he's one of the most, I wouldn't say most famous podcasters. He's one of the most famous people in the world, but he also has quite popular podcasts.
Yeah. So like, I didn't really like him before, but my boyfriend really likes him, and I just didn't get why he liked him.
Yeah.
He's sort of annoying, and I never listened to a podcast of his. And then for some unknown reason, I can't remember why now, but I just went on his website and clicked on one of his podcasts, and now I'm totally hooked.
Yeah.
And what I really like about them is the fact that they're unedited and they can be as long as the conversation is.
Exactly.
And I think that's really nice because sometimes podcasts try and be like short and snappy. And I also like his questioning. Like he really gets into, he'd be talking about something. He'd be like, tell me more about that yellow door, you know, rather than like anything else the guy was saying, but something within that, like to get more in like the head of the person. And I like that about his podcast a lot. So I think it's good, unedited and just like as it is.
Yeah, he's very philosophical, I guess, if you want to say. And he's also slightly religious. It's kind of weird.
I
never thought of him as being religious, but in that podcast, he actually gets into that. So you see a side of him, and maybe that's the reason why you like it, because you see a side of him that you don't really see in his stand-up in the movies and stuff.
And also, he's just, I think it's good to educate yourself, especially when you're doing this kind of work. And it sounds cheesy, but like talking about mindfulness and meditation and things. I'm trying to start meditation, but
me
like I
too,
haven't really
actually,
started.
Yeah. I have a good friend who I want to have on the podcast. He's one of the people who... I guess he's inspired me to do it. He wanted to do a podcast, and never got around to doing it, but I'm like pushing forward. And
cool.
He's very deep into meditation. Uh-huh. That's you, Evgeny. You know, I'm talking about you right now. He did like a 10-day silence retreat.
Wow, yeah.
And apparently that shit is like insane.
Very intense. Yeah, I find that unbelievably hard. But I think that's good. Like, then when you have these points in your work, when you're struggling or you don't have the belief in yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's you, when you kind of think about these things and like mindfulness and like know that it's not a race. And I think this is a lot of stuff that Russell Brand talks about.
Mm.
And I think it just makes you very aware. Plus, it makes you realize just some of the shit that's going on in the world and just like in actually how lucky I am.
Yeah.
Even though I complain that I'm not earning enough money or I'm not doing this, but I'm so lucky to be able to have a studio mm-hmm. and to be doing this creative work.
Yeah.
Some people don't even get the chance.
Yeah. And sometimes saying that out loud actually kind of brings it home and
yeah.
makes you understand it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I say that a lot too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's getting quite cold out here.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful day here in the backyard. I just want to thank you, Grace, again for being
thank
here.
You.
Thanks again for the tea.
No problem.
So this is Voices from the Dark.